Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This is for October the 22nd of 2019, where we are talking about The Walking Dead Final Season, Episode 1. So this is the first in a four-week series. Of course, we're doing an episode a week. A little synopsis of the game, and I warn you, I haven't read this book that much beforehand, so this could be interesting. The Walking Dead, the final season, is an episodic adventure video game developed by Telltale Games and later by Skybound Games, and the fourth and final game in the Walking Dead video game series, based on the comic book series of the same name. Taking place some years after The Walking Dead: A New Frontier, the game focuses on Clementine's efforts to raise young Alvin Jr., AJ, in the post-apocalyptic world, coming to join with the group of troubled teenagers surviving out of their former boarding school. It was released in 2019, so this year. And again, as the little synopsis said, it was developed by Telltale Games and Skybound Games, published by Telltale Games and Skybound Games, because they, you know, Telltale Games kind of wasn't able to finish it. So, womp, 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 womp. So we always start with intro, so those listening can recognize who you're listening to. And we always have a fun question to go along with that, that kind of goes along with the game. There was a lot of interesting graffiti, especially at the boarding school is where I noticed, is where I started noticing it. Inside the boarding school, it was the same things like over and over, but it was really interesting. So if you could graffiti without consequences, what would you graffiti and where?
This is Franco. I'm very averse to graffiti because when I was a little kid, I was dumb enough to do one of my neighbors had a cement job done on their sidewalk, and I was dumb enough to do the stick in the concrete and got caught, and I paid dearly for it. So, so I'm rather adverse to it, but I would probably be helpful, like food this way, or you know.
Okay. Cool. Very nice. Thank you. Yes.
This is Madeline. I have a train track that runs pretty close to my subdivision. And so we have a lot of boxcars that run back and forth that are always have like tags and stuff on them.
Mm-hmm.
But one time one ran by that had PEMDAS on it, which in like giant letters, almost the entire size of the boxcar, which was hilarious because if you don't remember, PEMDAS is the order of operations acronym. So parentheses, exponents, multiply, divide, add and subtract. So I would probably pick something that's like important like that, but also like not directly applicable.
Yeah.
To put somewhere large, like if I could get over my fear of heights, I'd maybe like, I don't know, like carve it into the side of a hillside somewhere, something like that.
Wow, that's, yeah, awesome, thank you. And next,
hi Kevin. I don't know, I'd probably do something like, because anywhere without consequence, I'd probably like make some sort of political statement and put it on like the White House or some sort of government building or something.
Nice. Yeah.
Rebel!
There you go. There you go. Awesome. Next.
This is Chris. I think I would graffiti people.
Dummy on their forehead in Sharpie.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially if they annoyed me, you know, break out one of those paint pens and just like write on their forehead or something.
Wow. You know,
type of thing.
Man.
Yeah.
It's so aggressive. That's so aggressive.
There's no consequences, so they wouldn't get paid.
I mean, Drew.
Or retaliating. So it's like, you know, best of both worlds, you know. Get your frustrations out on the person and have no consequences on it.
All right. Yeah, that's you do you.
Reminding me of Jigglypuff Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Steph. Wow. Like, I really enjoy, I mean, I haven't ever tagged anything myself, but I really enjoy seeing it. Probably I would do probably something like cheesy and just do like quotes from people, maybe with like a bunch of different colors and like, you know, designs and stuff. Something that was a little inspirational, I guess. I also like it when people do like actual people that like, you know, I can't think of an example that I've seen. Like, I've seen one of like Louis Armstrong, someone like just graffitied this like picture of Louis Armstrong, and you know, and I was like, that's really cool. So probably something like that. And then probably like I'd do something geeky. I don't know. Yeah, it'd definitely be colorful. I would use a lot of different colors. That's for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so awesome. So let's get into our discussion. We're going to, you know, of course, as usual, cover basics first for the most part. So like mechanics, controls, that sort of thing before we get into story. So first off, like there were a couple different ways to play. You could do computer, you could do console. What did you guys do?
I was PS4.
I was computer.
Did you do the whole, like, as you suggested? Chris suggested in our Discord chat to switch between, you might need to switch between controller, mouse, and keyboard. Did you have to do that?
That's what I did.
Cool. Yeah,
I played computer, and I did mouse and keyboard for any of the like exploration stuff, but even for combat this time around it was easier for controller and conversations as well.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what did you do?
Well, I'm watching it on YouTube, but the person is playing using a controller. So
Okay. Yeah, there was only one moment where I was like, I really wish I had a mouse. Because the controller was not getting this one part for me, and we can talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, that particular mechanic is continuing. That they haven't gotten this right in four versions of the game.
Yeah. One of these submitted questions was about the art style. I know that with the New Frontier, I think I remember because, like, of course, throughout the series, the art style has like upgraded, you know, for those who haven't played listening, that haven't played the Walking Dead series, they do it kind of in a very comic book style, almost similar to like Borderlands, if you played that, but a little different from that. But it has like, you know, the harsh outlines, and the shading is very kind of like comic book as well. Did you guys, and I know with the New Frontier, I think I remember a couple of us talking about how that we didn't like kind of the quote unquote upgrade in the graphics, like that it felt kind of weird and off sometimes. How did you guys feel about it, at least in the first episode with this one?
So with this style, the developers had said that they were, I think they had like somewhat acknowledged the change in New Frontier, and basically were kind of trying to meld that style, but also bring it back to like a graphic novel style, and have more of the backgrounds be more of like a muted, more darker thing to have it like to have it not be such a sharp thing in there that pops out at you, to have it more be a muted just thing in the background.
Okay.
So, and that was the newest thing with this game, where they're kind of trying to go back to the graphic novel style while retaining the newer art style that they had developed. So, but with the getting back to the question, I rather enjoyed what they had come up with and the kind of melding sort of the two that they had.
Oh, yeah, I am seeing how with the New Frontier, looking at screenshots, like it's more, it looks like they were trying to do more with like lighting and shading than lines. And
You were going to say
something, Kevin? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, New Frontier, it almost felt like they basically were using higher res models with like cell shading lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it does have somewhat more of a comic book graphic novel style. You see it a lot more with like the environments and stuff. Like I noticed when they had the dark shading when she's in the house.
When
you end up going in a room, they have the it's like really harsh like black shading. And of course zombie. Very stylized.
It felt like the style that they used in the opening credits. They tried, I know that was more stylized than what they used in the game, but it felt like they tried to almost use that, what they used in the opening credits in the flashback, to kind of transition almost between what they used in New Frontier and then to the style that they used here, which I didn't necessarily have a problem with what they used in New Frontier. It was just a little bit jarring to go from one to the other.
Yeah.
But I feel like what they used here is like a happy medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like the style there. Yeah, Frank?
I don't know. It looked, well, maybe it was just the difference. It looked kind of, I'm struggling for a word here, harsher. And then I don't know if it was just my imagination or like some of the backgrounds looked, you know, just almost grayscale. It's like, and it's like, is this a style I'm not understanding, or are they just not bothering the color of the background?
Probably going for more of that graphic novel feel.
Yeah, I guess
that would be my assumption.
Yes, like especially with like the black shading that might. I'm not really familiar with how the comics themselves are styled, but a lot of comics themselves, sometimes when shadows are really dark, they make the background black or a large amount of black.
Yeah, it's very high high contrast usually.
Yeah.
Here out there. There's a picture of it. So now with the controls. First off, there were a couple of issues that I had issues with, I guess. First off was hit areas.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said in the Discord chat a couple of times, of course we'll get into the story later, but when you're escaping the basement from Brody, zombie Brody, and you drop, I think it's a ruler that you're trying to like get the door with, and you drop the ruler.
Pick that up.
literally it took me 15 tries to pick up that ruler because like for some reason using the controller, and this is the one time that I was like, I really wish I had a mouse. Like that was the one time because then I could click it. But like with the controller trying to, and Frank, you can, you know, tell me if you had the same trouble, trying to like get your analog sticks to go over that, like if for some reason it didn't, it right, it seemed like it didn't want to go on it. Like it kept going around it. And like when I would put it over to go over it, it would like go past it.
Yeah.
And then like it also seemed like when I was on top of it, it wasn't lighting up. Like I had to go like under it.
I don't know if it's a programming issue. It just seemed in general for me, and it sounds like Steph was having the same issues. It's just the controller was lagging behind. It was like,
yeah,
it would take, even with running or walking, it was like it would always take a heartbeat for it to start moving.
Yeah. No, you know, no. Like, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
When I was first playing this, this episode, and this was so the first two episodes were before any announcements or before anyone knew that Telltale was in trouble,
or at least the people, the developers didn't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure someone somewhere knew.
Yes, well, at that point, the executives were scrambling to get the funding during the development of these episodes.
Yeah.
But when I was playing, especially this episode, it just felt so rushed. And the thing is, this is Telltale's, this is their completely redesigned engine. So this was their debut of the engine, which I feel like they didn't have enough time to properly work out all the bugs to. And they were still getting used to making games off of it. And I think that these are kind of issues that they didn't have time to fine tune.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I was playing this, and I mean, don't get me wrong, the dialogue choices and all that stuff were fantastic. But anything where it came to combat or quick making decisions or anything, it just felt entirely rushed throughout the entire episode.
And
unfortunately, it continues throughout the entire season. So
yeah, because it seemed like the control. I mean, especially like the first time in the train yard, I died 15 times. It's just, and it was just like, I have no idea what's supposed to be going on here.
Yeah.
Like, I move close to the zombie, I'll hit the O, and it's just like, and then you end up, you know, panicking and spamming, and it's like, is that doing it? Is that why I'm dying? You know, it's like, it was just not very, very responsive.
And that was the other problem, too, with this game, is you're not quite sure what it's asking you to do either.
Yes.
And a lot of times, especially when, now, was this the one where you had to go through the woods and go through like the traps and everything?
Yes.
That was, well, that too. I died about a good dozen times.
It's like, at that point, I was about ready to break my keyboard. Because I was trying to follow what the game showed you to do. And what you're supposed to do in the game is not what the game showed you to do. And it was the most frustrating thing ever because it's just like you don't know what the game is asking you to do. And it's just, that's the thing. You're just constantly dying. And you're trying other things, but the other things just aren't working. And it's just, it's a simple solution that you just have to keep walking. But the game just confuses you in the process of just walking forward. So,
It made it seem like, with that part, I definitely agree with that because I tried maybe 3 or 4 times to do the traps like it was telling me to do. Like, it was like, yeah, we've, because they made it a specific point. Like, yeah, there are traps here. Use the traps. And so I was like, oh, then they want me to use the traps.
And you use it once.
And you can't use any of the other ones, because if you try to, you're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Will you get killed if you try to use the trap?
Yeah. I mean, no. It's what
you really got to be. Yeah.
What happens is that, like, you let off that first trap. By the time that you're trying to maneuver yourself to the other trap, a zombie has gotten you. You're trying to fight that one off. Another zombie has gotten you.
Yeah, it was just like the delay between the action and then you getting control of the character.
Yes, correct. Yes.
It was like
by the time you animations or whatever.
I don't know what it was. It just, the controls just seemed to be, like I said, a heartbeat behind what you were doing. And
you would
spring a trap, the trap would come down, and then would take like a good heartbeat for you to control your character again, because you're trying to move away. It's like, I don't want to get this zombie on top of me. I managed to kill like 3 with traps, and then it was like,
oh wow, I got
more
one
than me.
And then I started fighting and then
I fought the other two, and it's like, And I looked up, there is a trophy for killing them all just with traps. I was like, God bless you if you got that trophy. I don't know how in the world you did it.
Yeah.
You lose control as it's going through, but the zombies are continually progressing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just so unbalanced.
Yeah, there was like, even with the first trap, like it was a struggle for me to even get that first trap done, because like I did the first trap and what I could look around, like there was only one zombie by the tree, but by the time, and what Frank was saying, by the time that the trap went off and by the time that I got turned around, there was another zombie like right there beside me.
Yep.
And then by the time that I fought that zombie off, there was like another zombie coming, like grabbing me from behind, like as I'm fighting him off. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the whole mechanic of sweeping the leg and then stabbing them, it wasn't a fluid movement, because it was sweeping the leg, waiting 3 seconds, and then stabbing them.
Yeah, waiting for the triangle to pop up.
Waiting 3 seconds, then moving on to the other zombie. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the zombies are continuing to move.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, there's just a no-win situation at that point where the controls are just that slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more realistic, but it's not what we've been taught with every single other game.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
It's just not smooth. Smooth at all. Not smooth at all.
Yep. All right. So before we move into story, is there any other mechanics or controls that I missed that you guys want to talk about?
It's just, I don't know. I don't know what they
spill it, Frank. Spill it.
Just say it.
Like you would do something and you would like look at something, and then when you get your control your character back, you're looking in a totally different direction.
Yes.
She's like turned around 90 degrees and to the west or something, and it's like, wait a minute, I was looking over here. Why am I now looking over here?
Oh.
I lost track of what I've been looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, watch for that. It's like when you go look at something and you put it down and then you're facing like you've turned around. Wait a minute. What happened?
Yeah. All right. So getting into story. I mean, I have some points here. If I miss anything, you guys feel free to kind of jump in and be like, I want to talk about this. That is perfectly fine. So did anyone have to do because I played the other games on my computer. And I played this one on, because I had them on Steam. And then I, of course, played this one on the PS4. I don't have anything against it's on the Epic Store, right?
Yeah, it's only on Epic Store.
Yeah. I'll just get it on the PS4. So I didn't have any saves to load in.
Unless you bought it on Steam before everything went down.
Right. So I didn't have any saves to load in, is what I'm getting at. So I had to do the little kind of like a catch up to where like you tell the game, like the game asks you about major decisions in the past three games. Like whether or not, you know, if you had Clementine kill Lee, if you had, you know, just had him turn, if you shot Kenny or, you know, or what's her name?
Jane.
Did anyone else have to do that, or did you guys load in saves?
No, I did.
I loaded in stuff, but it still asked me to go through some things.
Yeah, it just asked you to confirm that's what happened. And it's like, this is kind of silly because there's no like, no, take it back. It's like, okay. This is what, you know, this is what we read off your game save, right? And you're just clicking like, okay. That's what it did. The PS4, it was like, I went and, you know, thank God for online storage on the PS4, went back all the way. And it only needed the last save from New Frontier.
Okay. All right.
So it got everything off of that.
Yeah. So. How did you guys like that little, I thought it was cool how they did it. You know, cause they kind of did it kind of, it was very, graphic. I mean, not, you know, not content graphic, but very much like their graphic novel style that they had like in the title intro. What, Chris?
It was visually pleasing rather than just being a text.
Correct. Yes. Exactly.
Exactly. When I tried to do it, I couldn't access my Telltale stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I tried to, but it just would not connect or anything. So I just ended up picking the choices and went from there. But yeah. They did a good job on on presenting that in a in a visually pleasing way. So
Yeah, I agree.
Previously on Telltale.
But it was nice because it was in Clementine's, you know, it was Clementine kind of giving the story. And yeah, I just thought it was a neat way to do it instead of just being like, what did you choose? And just having like a picture or something. It was more like a moving story.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they had any choices from New Frontier.
No, because that really didn't have anything to do with the Clementine story.
You didn't actually play as Clementine.
Well, they did. They did mention the New Frontier, but
they
I completely forgot that you didn't play as Clementine in New Frontier.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of slipped my mind too.
That's to me. That's what I blame the whole having to sweep the leg. Me failing to realize that that's what it wanted me to do. I blame it on not being able to play as Clementine in New Frontier. Because I'm like, technically this should be obvious, because this is what we learned the last time I played as Clementine. Why is that not more obvious? Because it's been a whole game since you played as Clementine. So
yeah.
Okay.
So did you guys were you guys surprised by the time jump? Because we kind of go kind of in the future. It's a little ways after New Frontier. AJ's now a kid.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around it because it seems like AJ aged more than Clem did.
I think I agree. He does seem like he's aged more, but then she also mentions that I can't wrap my finger. Or my mind around, not my finger, that's weird. I can't wrap my mind around, like, Clementine's age, like, 16, maybe?
I'm thinking, like,
she's 16 to 17.
16. Yeah, and she doesn't look it. I mean.
Yeah, she looks, I mean, guys, I looked 12 when my first year of college, so.
Everybody's different, I understand.
I'm completely, like, whatever with that. But, like, yeah, I was like, I'm not really sure, like, how old she's supposed to be. I kind of figured, like, a teenager, obviously. But, yeah, so, yeah, I'm guessing,
Rita says she's 17.
Yeah, AJ was 2, like in season.
AJ's 2 in
season 3.
Okay.
He's 5 to 6 in this game.
Okay, that makes sense.
He started off as a baby, and then he was 2.
He's 5 to 6?
Yeah.
Nah, I'd say 7.
He's definitely 8.
Yeah.
That's okay.
They say that's what his age is supposed to be.
No, I believe you, but he's definitely
8. Well, maybe nobody does their research for writing.
Children are notoriously impossibly difficult to write, too, so I don't blame them for rounding up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, yeah, 7 seems like a safe number, but yeah, 5 is pushing it. Yeah, okay.
Because how old was Clem when we met her in season 1? She was
8.
She was pretty young. Mm-hmm. She was probably 7 or 8.
She was 8.
Yeah.
And then she turned 9.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's right. That's right. She had a birthday. Yeah.
Aw, Clem. Yeah. So you guys were okay with the kind of jump in time?
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting there to be a I don't want to say substantial jump, but some jump in time.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting Clem to be in her 30s, but it was, you know.
But I would have loved that, honestly.
Yeah. Yes.
There'd be no zombies to fight.
You don't know? You have no idea. Did you guys find their relationship believable? AJ and Clementine's kind of a mother, very motherly Clementine is to AJ. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, yeah. Reasonably so.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it rang true.
Well, what about AJ's proficient? Now, if he was 8, I would even then, I found it weird the whole proficiency with a firearm for AJ at such a young age, like, and him being such a great shot that, like, Clementine's like, he can fire better than, like, a teenager.
That he can carry his pistol loaded all the time and also sleep with it in bed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that part was like sort of a disconnect for me. It's like that would be the last thing I'd do with the pistol is give it to an 8-year.
It's a different generation.
Whatever, Chris.
Kids these days, I tell you.
Kids these days handling their firearms at 7 years old.
Those dang Zoomers.
We had Tamagotchis and everything, and they have handguns and
revolvers and
stuff. Yeah.
Oh goodness. Yeah, but I was just kind of like, that. That's a lot. How did you guys like the train station and the whole like car sequence? Anything to talk about there? When you first got to the train station in the beginning of the game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I thought it was kind of like an interesting throwback to season 1, where you kind of end up at the train station there.
Oh yeah,
That's right. That's right. You know what? I sort of flashed on this train from season 1. Yeah,
yeah. And you meet that couple there. I can't remember their names.
I forget. Yeah.
Wait. Is this the same effing train station?
No. It's a different one. But it's like
though there was a couple here too that were tied together. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a nice kind of like throwback to season 1 that they end up at another train station.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the ticket window and the whole same deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although afterwards I thought, all right, he tied her up. But who tied him up?
The person that ran away. That was like, F this, I'm getting out of here.
A little bit of a logic slip there.
You guys can sit here and die.
They could have tied themselves up before the rat poison took hold completely.
Maybe, but and that's number 2. That would not be the way I would choose to go.
Yeah, that's horrendously painful, and you would vomit a lot of it up, and there's no guarantee you would actually die.
Yeah, it would not be, for sure.
Yeah. Nurse Madeline, guys, give her a round of applause.
Go ahead, Kev. Oh, yeah, now I'm thinking of they had previously done the before season. Well, I think it was in season two where the first couple that she was with ended up having a baby. But another baby.
Right at the end of, or right at the beginning of season two. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was with the two people and she was pregnant, and then it clipped to the next scene and she was only with a woman and she wasn't pregnant anymore.
Oh, yeah.
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 So with the two couple that were, that were tied up, it was an interesting little kind of, AJ was saying that they, because they were zombies, for those listening that, haven't played, these were two zombies now, because, they had drank the rat poison when they were living and had tied themselves up. So it's just two zombies, tied to the chairs now. And AJ was saying that, that Clementine should kill them. Clementine says, because they found a note saying that, just leave us alone. And kind of like a farewell to the world note to anyone who finds it. And Clementine says, they wanted us to leave them alone, so we're going to leave them alone. I think you have the choice, right? If you want to shoot them or.
Yep.
So what did you guys choose? And even going outside of what you guys chose in the game, how would you have chose in real life if you were choosing because this is what Clementine would do?
Yeah, as Clementine, I'd let them be, but probably in real life, no, because those ropes are going to rot sometime. So
just two more. You don't want those two more zombies in the world.
Two more problems I don't want to have to deal with down the road.
Yeah, because then they become more of a liability than anything at that point.
Yeah.
See, I went ahead and dispatched them right there because I thought of all the times particularly in, I think it's episode 2 of season 1, whenever you're out at the farm and Clementine has to crawl through the air duct.
Mm-hmm.
And how much I hated, basically being like, yes, child, go and put yourself in unknown danger.
Yes.
And hopefully it'll work out for everyone.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that to AJ if I could help it. But part of me was conflicted because as much as possible, I want to honor the wishes of people who, when they die, what they want done with their bodies. But at the same time, I can't wrap my head around the headspace of someone who's like, we want to become zombies tied to a chair.
Yes, correct.
I have no idea how you get in that headspace.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Just leave us alone. We're just zombies here.
But part of me was you could do like Michonne did in, in the original stuff and just cut off their arms. But at the same time, I'm like, that feels worse than just finishing it. Like, I don't.
Not only did she cut off their arms, she also ripped off their lower jaw.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they couldn't bite her.
That's make them totally useless.
So
Yeah. No, I feel you. I struggled with the decision myself. It's interesting because of course I was like, oh well, and I don't know, you guys can talk about this, but the whole because the game prompts and says, AJ is listening, AJ is watching, I think AJ is listening to you at all times or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh God, right. I need to be setting an example for this kid. And so I fell into the Lee trope of being like, oh, here, crawl through this hole because I want to honor these two zombies' wishes of not of me not killing them. So here, and it wasn't until like halfway or almost maybe more than halfway through the episode that I was like, wow, this is really like, it's really mirroring.
Yeah.
It's really reflective of like how, like with Lee and her first season.
Didn't they get the writer from the first season, right?
Did they write this
season?
I think they came back as
consulting.
Consulting. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that would that's interesting. So the train station. Then you have the car escape. Yeah. Unless there's something specific that you want to talk about there.
Well, now that you mentioned it, the only thing that really I just flashed on when we were talking about the couple was like, well, there's the way they should have went out. It's like they had a hand grenade, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was interesting.
Where did they get a hand grenade?
We're going to like,
booby just trap
ourselves to a chair and poison ourselves, but... We'll leave this trap on this food just in case.
That's right. Yeah.
That's like cruel. Like, not only do you want to stay a zombie, but you also want to leave the key tied to your belt so nobody else can have your food.
Like, and then booby trap it.
All kinds of more reasons why I don't feel bad ending their
These were obviously horrible people. Obviously.
That would have been great. After great comic relief, after the grenade goes off, then you go back in the room and kill them because they left the grenade.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
How dare you.
So much for leaving you alone.
How dare you. So we can move on to the school that you find yourself in.
Someone else have something? Children?
Yeah. So you wake up in a room, you're looking, for AJ, sneak out into the hallway after, breaking through the door, using a palette knife. go ahead.
Is that possible, Steph, who has been to art school? Is it possible to pick a lock with a palette knife?
Honestly, I've never tried. Palette knives are, they can either be like hard plastic, the cheaper ones, or usually if they're metal, they're a little bit bendable. It seems like a stretch.
Kind of thick.
What?
Palette knives seem kind of thick too.
It depends. They make different ones. I have one from college that's not like tinfoil thin, but it's like, it's definitely bendable. Because you want to that kind of give whenever you're mixing the paint. You don't want like this big metal, you don't want like something that's metal, like complete like steel stuff. You want something that's a little bit bendable and can like move with things. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll try it and I'll report back to you. Sure. So we can talk about, the school here. If there's anything, specific that you want to talk about in this kind of first part of the school when you first kind of wake up and meet Marlon and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. I revealed myself. I figured that was the safest way to go.
Oh. I held a knife to Tennessee's neck. Of course, he never forgot about. I didn't know, guys. I didn't know.
So they actually made the NPCs remember stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's going to be the point of the whole game from the rest of the way out.
Yep. I asked him to drop his weapon.
Okay.
And then
that was choice space was, 1A. Yeah.
Was right around the corner. So
yeah, Marlon
didn't do me a whole lot of good. But.
I was extremely confused for a second when watching it. I thought it was AJ in different clothes with the shave, shorter hair, and like a scar on his head. And it took me a second to realize, oh wait, that's not AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although what the heck happened in like the span of, I don't know how, however
one long. Day, 2 days.
You thought like time had passed, that time had passed, and AJ got taller.
Yeah.
That would be taller, wild.
Thinner. Yeah.
That would be wild.
But I did talk Marlon into dropping his bow, so that was.
Oh wow. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I think he did for me too. Yeah. But I dropped my weapon first.
Yes. Well, I said, you drop yours and I'll drop mine, kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, I don't remember exactly. You kind of, you know, we don't have to go step by step. If there's anything mm-hmm. specific. You kind of meet Violet and Lewis. Oh, you meet Lewis first, playing the piano
mm-hmm.
and the... in the parlor when you're trying to find AJ. Well, you find AJ in that room. How'd you guys like... Did you guys have any favorite characters from the school? Or any... Not, you know, characters you didn't like without revealing too much from the ending?
You know, Tennessee seems... I don't know. Tennessee's got a vibe on them. I don't know what's going on with Tennessee.
Like a not trustworthy vibe, or
no, I want to say Stranger Things or Supernatural kind of thing, where it's like with his drawings, and it's like, you know, he seems to be almost like a philosopher beyond his years, you know.
Oh,
you know, it's
they're putting him in there so that they can like hint at information for future use,
maybe.
Basically. Yeah. I liked Ruby. I know AJ bit her, but I really liked Ruby. Like at one point afterwards, I got AJ to apologize to her, and she says, mm-hmm. "Aw, Shug, we all get scared sometimes." And I was like, "I want to be your friend."
Yeah, at first she seems to be a total
person.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah but mm-hmm. then at first she seems like to be a total bitch, but you know, then you realize she just got.
I would be too if I got bit.
Just so. Got yeah. bit. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't just blame her.
Some random kid that just came in, just like bites you.
Yeah, because real world, if you don't die from a zombie bite, you are very likely to die from a human bite.
A lot of germs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing.
I really liked Violet. She was little, she was quiet at first, a little skeptical, but then, you know, halfway through the episode, her and Clementine kind of have a little chat when she's looking for some art supplies. She seemed okay. She seemed all right.
The one thing I thought was pretty like, kind of like at this stage of the game, how many years are we into the you know, the zombie apocalypse, that it's, you would figure at this point people would not be like, so have you lost any loved ones? You know, it's like, hello, we've been 6 years into a zombie apocalypse. That's true. I'm out here by myself.
It's been a while.
We've all, you know, it's almost like, you know, I felt like I was dying to have Clem say like, we've all lost, you know, loved ones and dear friends. And it's like,
yeah.
This is something we all have in common. It's nothing out of the ordinary, unfortunately, in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us. We're all kids, like, just here, you know? Just here by ourselves. I mean.
Rag bells
the book,
me.
All My Friends Are Dead, and the sequel, All My Friends Are Still Dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, I don't know, maybe I was being paranoid, but that rang a bell to me, like, wait a minute, there are no adults here?
Well, it was, they did it, the writers did it to help spring, like, oh, this is what happened in the last game, since it's been X number of times since you played the last game. But it,
absolutely doesn't make sense in world to be like, so who were your people and stuff like that. Like, really, you just met this person. You're like, please tell me about all your darkest moments in your life.
Yeah.
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 I'm done playing this game. Good.
Have you ever, yeah, have you ever killed someone that you loved?
Really? Really?
Goodness.
Right.
Wait, and who's asking these?
I think that was Lewis that asked. Well,
Lewis asked the one about the if you killed someone that you loved.
Yeah, but it turns, he reveals that, I think, Violet, but no, not Violet. Marlon asked him to ask that.
Yes, one of them did. Yeah,
which I found curious.
I don't think I
caught that.
That's for foreshadowing, like, for later on for Marlon.
Marlon, even from just seeing from, like, I haven't gone to the point where you learn bad stuff about him. Even from just the trailer and stuff, he just gave me that bad character, like the antagonist vibe. He just looks like the bully kid from like some 80s movie.
Aww, but
he has a mullet.
That's, yeah, why I liked him.
And
I
he's like the blonde haired, blue eyed big guy wearing a sports jacket. He just looks like a bully.
Aww.
I'll spoil it for you, Kevin. Don't go see Lost Boys. Okay.
Yeah.
It's basically like Kiefer Sullivan's character in Lost Boys, basically.
He looks like the main guy from the Lost, like a character from the Lost Boys.
If you haven't caught on by now, everyone that Clem has direct conflict with is always the leader of a group.
Yeah.
She can never just pick a fight with a small fry. She's always the anarchist trying to overthrow whatever government is still clinging on.
Organization, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that kind of made me laugh and also cringe simultaneously is how, like, at least, like, I thought this whenever, like, you know, Clementine's being introduced to everyone and the guys, especially, well, I mean, only, but like, they all seemed to kind of, or like, there was at least two of them that were like immediately like, oh, Clementine, hi. Like,
yeah,
like immediately, seemingly like, creeps, you know,
well,
hitting on her in way, you know, in like,
they are 17-year-old boys. I mean, they're not, you know,
but there are other girls there that they're not in, that they're not into. They've been living with, there's like, what,
don't matter,
four other girls their age.
Because, well, there were,
because they already got rejected by them.
Well, basically, that was, well, in a more subtle way. She's the new girl. She doesn't know all the bad things about
that's
them.
Stupid.
Yeah, because Vi is the bitchy lesbian, and then Ruby
is not bitchy.
I agree, but she's just using stereotypes.
She has her reasons. She has her reasons.
Ruby is the fat girl, and then Brody is in good with what's his face that's in charge.
Right.
So they don't want to step on his turf either. So
right.
I want to stomp on all those stereotypes you just listed and just
I
chew
agree.
Them up and spit them out in everyone's faces.
I agree.
Yeah, it was getting, I love Ruby. Yeah, kind of true. And I don't know. I just didn't like Lewis for some point, for some reason. I just didn't, you know, he's like,
aw, come on.
Too over the top. I don't know.
It was nice, but for me personally, it was too over the top. I was like, yeah, you need to back off, Lewis. Like, this, no. Like, no. You're nice, but we got other problems. There are other things to worry about right now.
I did love AJ having the big stew thing on his face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was great.
That was cute. Yeah, the whole, like, dinner scene was really nice. And, you know, the card game up until things got weird and started asking extremely personal questions.
Yeah.
I enjoyed.
And they've known her for all of 8 hours, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing them relaxed. You know,
mm-hmm.
But then also with these games, it's like every time that a woman seems like really good, I'm always like something really bad's around the corner.
Yes.
Damocles' sword is swinging overhead.
Yes.
And about just after that dinner episode, it was like when they all start to go heading out again, it's like, then it's like 10 little Indians. Okay, batter up.
Yes.
Who's not coming back from the trip?
Oh, yeah, the hunting. So what did you guys choose to do? Yeah. Did you decide to go to the fishing house or decide to go hunting?
I went to the fishing.
Oh, cool. How was that experience? How was the fishing experience?
Uneventful.
Okay. You get to play peacemaker between Violet and Brody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Brody reveals that they're awkward for the exact same reason that, you know, the two twins disappeared on that trip, and Violet feels responsible because she was supposed to go on the trip and she didn't, and Brody took her place, and Brody feels guilty because the girls disappeared, and, you know, later revealed on for even more reasons. So that's basically what happens on the fishing trip.
Wow. I wish I would have went on the fishing trip now, because that sounds like a great girl bonding time.
It was. It was wonderful.
Dagnabbit.
They didn't talk about any boys at all. It was AJ.
It was the worst. I mean, it wasn't a horrible I went hunting. And so, like, Lewis, of course, wasn't hunting. He was, like, messing with a zombie, like, the entire time that had gotten to a snare and was caught up in a tree. Like, he was just kind of batting it with a board. And you had the choice of either goofing off with Lewis, which, no thanks, or going hunting. And I was like, well, let me contribute to this and, like, actually, like, try to contribute to the team. So I went hunting with, what is his name? I don't remember. But the
Lewis and
the guy. Kevin. Yes, correct.
I can't think of who the other person was.
So, with a seam, yes. And so, like, then you have to, like, aim for rabbits, which is impossible with their aiming, with, you know, using a controller and their hit system. I literally, like, hit, like, it was not forgiving at all. Yeah, so I think we caught, because we found a baby rabbit in a snare, but Asim was saying we should let it go because, you know, it's going to grow bigger in like a day, you know, in a few days, so we can come back and get more meat off of it. And of course, Lewis was wanting to keep it, so you had to decide if you wanted to let the rabbit go. I let it go. Just losing points with Lewis right and left, but I was okay with that. Yeah, so that was pretty much it. And then they went off, you know, to the fishing house, but it didn't show anything.
Yeah, with the fishing, you had just a little fishing, almost probably as difficult, a fishing mechanic with the spear. You had to aim the cursor, and then, you know, as the fish went by, you stab it. So
it was nice that, like, you had the fish would come by at the same, like, place in the river each time. So you could, like, wait a little bit and be like, okay, I'm ready. They just came faster and faster each time. So so I missed the last time, but I was very pleased to get it each time before then. Because all you had to do was just line up and then kind of, like, wait till you were ready. They were like, we didn't get any food. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We got, like, 5 fish.
And then yeah, same here.
So, like, what? Is there a problem? Like, yeah. And y'all were concerned? I thought it was fine.
But did you guys ever, like, honestly, like, I with Marlon, and with the whole scene of him, like, showing me the map, like, in his office before you went out hunting, I honestly, like, believed him. Like, I honestly was like, oh man, like, this guy's just trying to, like, take care of everyone, you know. He's just, you know, he just keeps losing people, and, you know, he's just at, you know, kind of just trying to keep the peace and trying to keep, like, the boundaries, even though people are complaining about, you know, that they keep shrinking, but he's just doing what he thinks is best. Or were you kind of on to him from the beginning?
I trusted him up until, you know, with that and everything. I thought that at that point, I still was like, what happened to the adults? I mean, I thought that was the deep, dark secret that something yeah. they had done something with the adults.
I just thought it was weird that they were like, well, the greenhouse has grown over, so we just don't go over there anymore. And I was like,
too.
Yeah, it's like, haven't you heard of weeding?
Are y'all like afraid of hard work? Like what?
The miracle of the
home? Can I do that part? Like, can I
go to the greenhouse, please?
Go greenhouse for you?
Found a machete in your weapon hunting?
Yeah,
I don't understand. That
made me suspicious. I was like, immediately, I was like, what's in the greenhouse? Like,
something's buried here.
Maybe. Hey, it's early. It's only the first episode. I think we're going to be at the school for a while.
I don't know.
We don't go to Ravenholm.
I have bad feelings.
Well, that's another thing. This is all a school for juvenile delinquents. So,
yeah, they got along really well. I was expecting to be way more like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking at the beginning. It's like either this is Lord of the Flies or Peter Pan. Which way is this going to go?
So after the whole hunting incident, you're worried about starving. So you go to the train station to get the supplies there. And as you're getting some stuff out of the stash that you found earlier, you run into a guy runs into you. Did you guys give him some of your food or no?
Let me just backtrack one second on your.
Yeah.
Steph, you went hunting, right? Did you find the cigarette butt hunting?
I found the cigarette butt. There was a cabin that they kept stuff at. And so they went to that, I think, after they hunted for rabbits. They went to this little cabin that supposedly they kept supplies at, but it was ransacked. So they found the cigarette butt there, which was made with a Bible page, which I was like, man, that must be some big Bible text for you to like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's serendipitous.
Did Brody freak out at that point too for you?
Yes, Brody freaked the F out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if there was any difference. Okay.
Poor Brody. I feel like she needs some counseling, but, you know.
Yes. Well, before. Well,
right.
Yeah.
Too little, too late now, but
right. Yeah.
Yeah. For us, after you go fishing, then we go to meet up with the people hunting. And at first they're not there. And all there is the zombie hanging in the trap, which they're like, we don't leave zombies hanging in traps. What's going on? And then the Bible verse cigarette.
Yeah. So it was exact flip, because I think that's what happened, is that we went to the fishing cabin. And Violet and them wasn't there, weren't there. So at first, but then they come in, and you're like, "Oh, okay." to the train station, and apparently, you know, Bible Man finds you.
Bible Man.
Yeah, that's his official name now.
That's what we're going with.
Cigarette smoking man is taken.
So what did you guys do with this guy? I mean, I think you could either you could have given him some food, or at least I think that was one of the options at some point. You could also push him out the window when he was trying to attack you, feed him to the zombies. Tell AJ to shoot him.
I pushed him out the window because AJ shooting him would be like, I knew immediately that would be like scarring for life, so no, let's not do that.
Yeah,
I pushed him out as well.
Also,
it seemed like the best decision. I was like, I don't really think it's, you know, I mean, because it seemed like he was asking for like all of your food. Like, I'm just going to fill this bag, and I was like, yeah, that's going to be all of the food, because even though they acted like it was a treasure trove, it was like a few jars.
Yeah.
Actually, like, this is going to feed us for weeks. And I'm thinking, 7 kids? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Also, Rosie has been eating because...
Yeah, Rosie's been eating something. Bless her heart. I'm saying that as a fellow fat kid myself. So,
but Rosie is like svelte. Like,
she is. She is.
Rosie is the dog, for those of you that haven't played this game.
Oh, there's actually, yeah, there's two Rosies. There's the girl Rosie.
Right? No.
Rosie? What's her... Oh, Ruby.
Her Ruby.
Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruby is the
yeah, that dog's in really good. Yes. And plus, dog biting zombies. Hello, is he getting zombie blood all over him? Or is that...
Yeah, and I guess that's just... She's fine. No problems.
I was frightened. Yeah. I was worried. yeah, I pushed him out the window as well. It seemed like the best option. But yeah, but the whole like AJ shooting him, even though AJ was like determined to shoot him, I was like, no. You don't need that. You don't
You don't need that in your life.
You don't need that in your life, kid. Like, I'm telling you now. But apparently AJ didn't listen to me. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, and who gives a 7-year-old the only gun?
Okay. Seriously.
If you have 2 guns, okay, you have one and the kid can have another, you know, because, you know, shit happens. But you give the kid the only gun?
Especially like when we were in the car before we crashed.
Yeah, he's playing with the gun.
Well, even before that, when we were trying to get away after the grenade went off and we're in the car and the zombie has come through the window at Clementine and the zombie are struggling and AJ's pointing the gun and I'm like, AJ's going to kill me if I don't tell him not to. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, God. yeah. pretty, if a kid ever listens to this, don't play with guns. It's fine.
No.
You don't need to. No. Yeah. So you take you get away with the stash, you get back to the school. Supposedly it's feast time. You're going to be eating for weeks on these jars of food. And eventually head off to bed. In the past couple of nights, you've had a couple of nice little conversations with Tennessee as he's drawing to himself and you find out that, you know, his sisters were killed. At least that's what Tennessee tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he has a sort of thought that they're, you know, that's not where they are now. They've moved on to a better place.
Yeah. That night when you come back with the jars that he is drawing a picture of, which I thought was really interesting. He was drawing a picture of his 2 sisters as well as the 2 zombies that killed them.
Yeah.
And just drawing them like regular, mm-hmm. actual people and not as zombies. And it's only when Clementine asks who the people are, he says that's the 2 zombies that killed them. And then he asks if he, you know, AJ and Clementine wants to be drawn in. Clementine can give, you know, you can decide. It felt kind of cruel to be like, no thanks. But I guess if you were playing as like a non-religious person, maybe that would be your answer. Because he did kind of like allude to, I like to think of them as, you know,
mm-hmm.
somewhere else.
That's the vibe I got, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was nice. And then he gives you the drawing, and you can hang it up in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, how many, did you guys find any, the only things I got for my room, because you can decorate your room, for those listening, and you can find things out in the world to decorate your room. I only found, according to the end, like 2 things, like, and it was the 2 drawings.
I found 4.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Where did you find the squirrel head? Oh, in the fishing cabin.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You found a squirrel head. I guess that's probably at the hunting place too. And then the course completionist, the first time at the train station, if you go over the left-hand side of the train station, there's a deer head skull.
I was always so afraid of zombies attacking. Like, I was always like, if I stay here any longer, I don't want to have to fight any more zombies than I absolutely have to, because it's not fun. So, yeah.
And I looked up later, there are 2 flowers you can find in.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
Didn't see them. Sorry, no.
I got the two drawings, the plastic flowers, aww, and then the deer skull, which nice, somehow fit in the backpack with my crowbar and my wood.
Yes, and bag of holding.
It's a bag of holding. It's fine.
Yeah, but I haven't, like, I couldn't put it in my room. And I was like, but if I found it, like, yeah, come on, guys.
It says, so, you know, you make for a nice hood order. But
it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't hang up in your room anywhere?
No.
I went to go to my backpack to pick it up. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to get it out of my backpack. And they're like, yeah, it's so nice to not have to lug that thing around. And I'm like,
that was the whole point, though.
What about my deer skull?
You were collecting things to decorate your room. Like, that was the whole point of the thing.
I felt dumb, but interesting. At the same time, a little bit bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that night you go to bed, wake up to some arguing. I thought the whole, like, AJ, did you guys allow AJ to sleep on the floor the first night?
No.
Yes.
I did. I thought, you know, if he feels more comfortable there, go for it, dude. Sleep on the floor. That's fine.
Yeah, and I can relate being a little
as long
kid,
as you're asleep, I don't care, you know?
You wanna feel safe, and that was my, you know, if he feels safe there, okay. You know.
But then the second night he gets on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're woken up to some arguing. You follow the pipes where a sound carries really well in this house. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just this one room. I don't know. But you would think that wouldn't be the room that you put, you know. Maybe you don't enough, know.
Yeah, if it's enough to wake you up, wouldn't it be enough to wake everybody up?
Everyone.
You would think. Unless the pipes only go to her room, and that's
it. Right. That is ex machina, you know.
So Clementine follows everything, you know, it's coming. She can tell it's coming from, like, you know, the basement. She goes outside to find a way to the basement because the door inside is locked. And you find Marlon and Brody arguing in the basement. And
after the dumbest mechanic in the world.
What?
Smashing open a lock with a brick.
That they don't hear.
A, they don't hear, and B,
the sound carries all the way across the house.
Yeah, it's,
she had a better chance of picking the lock than she had smashing it with a brick.
Yeah, I mean, she should still have that palette knife. I don't know what she did.
Yes, but no, that don't work. Smashing a lock with a brick.
And you find out that apparently Marlon, or apparently Tennessee's sisters did not die. Marlon traded them off. And what tipped the whole conversation was apparently when they described the guy that Clementine pushed into the zombies at the train station, that Brody recognized it as one of the guys that they traded the two sisters to. Two twin sisters, BTW. And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
we'll be relying on Madeline in a second, but anyway.
Yeah, so Marlon, because Brody's kind of freaking out, Marlon hits her with a flashlight.
Yes.
And gives her a head wound that Clementine says later split her head open, but it was it seemed like you know, like a forehead, gaping forehead wound at the time.
So did you see her pupils?
I didn't notice the pupils, no. I mean, okay. If I did, I'm sure I saw them. I just didn't, like, put it to memory.
So her pupils were two different sizes then? Afterwards, the one under the wound was a much bigger, and then the one opposite was pinpoint, mm-hmm. Which was kind of like what you expect when you're shining a flashlight in somebody's eyes.
Sure.
So that says that pressure behind the eye socket has changed to be different. So even if her skull wasn't obviously split under the cut, she definitely had a skull fracture and probably there under her orbit. That's the socket that holds the eyeball. And then she definitely had a brain bleed, I would say, as well. Yeah. Which makes what she was saying when Roland was standing there,
likely, but makes her being able to tell Clementine what happened after Roland walks away very unlikely.
Yeah.
Or Marlin, excuse me, not Roland. Marlin.
I was like, I was thinking, did I get his, like...
No, I've been reading the a Stephen King book, and
okay.
Roland is the character there.
I apologize. There you go. Now, the big question, can a flashlight do that? I don't know.
If it's a metal maglite, yeah.
There are some pretty heavy flashlights.
Yeah, metal maglite would do that, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
There are some pretty heavy flashlights out there. Yeah. And it seemed like a pretty hefty one.
Yeah,
so Marlin runs out, locks Clementine in the basement with Brody. You have to like struggle to find a flashlight, which is of course still on the other side of the place. Brody of course turns. Gotta fight her off, and that's when the whole freaking ruler thing happened when you're trying to escape.
The ruler begins.
Dear God.
By the way, I got it. The ruler in one shot. Just
Frank, out of my life.
and I have you to thank for it. That was my next sentence. I have you to thank for it because I read that text before I got to that spot, so I knew to be
you
on
were
the lookout.
Aware.
You yep. I knew that was.
I'm not even sure if I even was going to be aware of the situation because I knew what was happening. I just I don't know. It was just I was rolling ones right and left, and it wasn't pretty. So you eventually escape and get out to the courtyard where Marlin. Of course, everyone's woken up by now. Marlin is out there giving the speech of a lifetime about, you know, Clementine killed Brody. Everything just goes to crap. So did you guys, you kind of have, I mean, like, you know, of course you're kind of wanting to kind of at first assure people that it was Marlin's fault. But then like it kind of turns because people start kind of like, you can ask for, who did everyone, because you can turn to either Violet or Lewis to kind of like back you up. Which I'm kind of thinking, you've known these people for a whole of 2 days. Like, I'm not sure either of them should be like, yes, I believe in her character. Like, she would never kill Brody.
Yeah, I asked Violet, and then that was what Marlin turns around and says. He's like, you've known her for 2 days. Like,
yeah, I chose Violet too.
This doesn't count. Which made her uncertain, but eventually she did come over.
It was just kind of like, I think the game's way of being like, you need to choose a side. You need to choose between two people, and the other person's going to be really mad at you. Or feel hurt, I guess. Because Lewis is now heartbroken.
He'll get over it.
But it's possible Lewis is now heartbroken because of what happens at the very, very end, too. Not just because you didn't pick him to defend.
But I think the thing at the end said it was pretty much all blaming it on me that I didn't have fun with him in the forest. I didn't choose him to back me up.
Let me look, because I think Lewis was heartbroken in mine as well, and I was more nice to him than you were. Let me see. Yes. Here, I'll upload it. I left Lewis heartbroken, but when I told him about killing a loved one, he sympathized with my pain. So I think it's because of what happens at the very end.
Maybe. Yeah. So, but your choices in dialogue here takes a turn in that, like, which is, I thought was interesting, and in that you could start, like, not, you could keep, like, being, like, it's Marlin's fault, he, you know, basically he's a monster, but then also you had the choice of being, like, he was put into a hard position and he did what was right. What did you guys go with? Did you guys go full blame, or did you kind of empathize, not empathize. I mean, yeah, kind of be a little bit a little bit empathetic.
I mean, after he confessed, then it was, I went the, surprisingly for me, I went with the, you know, if you made a mistake, blah, 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 we can fix this kind of deal. And even when he offered to leave, I'm like, no, you should stay.
Yeah. That's what I said as well. You should stay, but you can't be in charge anymore.
It was, right. Yeah. Yeah. I answered something. Oopsie. Yeah. I answered similar. And for me, like, I think, like, it helped that they were, like, kids. Like, mm-hmm. I think if it was, like, maybe, like, an adult male, I would be, like, buddy. And he sold, like, two teen girls into, like, you know, to, you
sex
know,
not slavery.
Sold, but traded.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think because he, you know, what he was saying seemed like, you know, well, you were trying, you were, you know, you felt like you didn't have a choice. You didn't want to lead him back here to, like, kill, you know, to possibly, like, kill and everyone else. Yeah, so I was trying to be, like, empathetic and be like, you should stay. Like, just, you can't be in a leadership position, obviously. Yeah. I'm your new leader.
Clementine and anarchist extraordinaire.
And then a very, like, heartbreaking thing happens.
Unbelievable.
And I'm guessing this happens in everyone's game. AJ shoots Marlin.
Yes. Yep. Dear God. I went back and checked. That is.
Okay. I was wondering because, like, on his scorecard, it says dead, like, at the end. And I was like there was a chance. Could he live?
Yeah.
Did I do something horribly wrong?
Nope. Yeah. Nope. That is hard coded.
I went and looked to see if there was a way around making it so that he lived, but yeah, it's a definite hard choice or hard
it's on rails.
Yeah, basically.
Mm.
The event happens regardless of what you do. So which started to lead me down the path of not caring too much of how I interacted with AJ because it was like, okay, well, then if I can't derail these types of outcomes, then
like really, the important ones I would want to.
Yeah. Then what am I, then what's the end game here? So
yeah, why am I worried about him cursing if he's going to shoot people in the back of the head?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the exact same thing before I read the, you know, the checkup, and it's like, is this because I let you sleep under the bed?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my God. What, why? It's like, I'm staying there. I'm sorry. It made absolutely.
This is what happens when you let kids play with guns.
Zero sense why he would shoot at that point. Marlin had dropped the gun. He was no longer a threat. At the very worst, I could see him shooting the dog. Sorry, Chris. But, you know, because the dog was in a threatening position still. You know?
Yeah.
I could see that. I don't. That's the part that's like, sure, maybe he's 5 at this moment, but then he's 8 for the rest of the time. I don't.
He's five and can aim a gun perfectly.
I don't know. Like, the whole time I'm playing, like, every time, like Steph said, every time a good thing would happen or we'd have, like, a nice chill just conversation, I'd be like, okay, well, how is it going to be bad at the end? And I was really expecting for, you know, the Raiders to come and do a siege on the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into this, and I was like, okay, well, then Marlin is gonna shoot himself, and then I talked him down and he dropped the gun.
Right.
I was like, really?
This is gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Really? So, like, I don't know. It feels like, at least from episode one, it feels like that for all the other Walking Dead games, it's been humans are the real monsters. And then for this one, it's like actually specifically children. Are the real monsters.
And as God is my witness, I could have sworn he only picked up one bullet at the train station.
I saw two.
I saw two. I did not see two. Okay, I stand corrected.
for half of my game, though, like, people's mouths weren't moving when they talked as well, so.
Oh. It could be that as well.
It could be that.
I was pretty shocked and just kind of,
Oh, yeah. I was floored. I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't, and then, like, to top it all off at the end, like, he tells me that the advice that I told him before whenever he picked up the bullets, and he's like, what? I was aiming for the head. And I was like, don't you even.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No. Yep. It's all your fault. Always blame it on the player. Always.
That's the thing. It's like you feel like you always, even at the start of this game, I chuckled when that thing came up on the screen. Your choices matter. I'm like, yeah, sure, right.
Do they?
And here we go. Have a great session with AJ. Think Marlon drops the gun. We made it. I talked him out of it. I'm going to let him go. I'm going to do the thing.
Yep. I'm going to be a good person.
Yep.
No, everyone is still mad at me because the child I'm responsible for shot him.
Oh, yep. No. Oh, no, the repercussions.
Did you not even think about that?
Well, no, yeah. I did at the end. Of, like, once it happened, I was like, oh, everyone's going to hate me now.
Yep. Like, there's no, like, apologizing and making nice after this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you can have the perfect segue is just Clem standing there and shrugs her shoulders. Kids, what are you going to do?
although I do have to say, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in the second episode that, like, they just kind of not brush over it, but don't really address it to, you know, there are just
make
kind
as
of like,
big of a deal as they
like,
should.
Oh, like, you know, kind of well, mourn, kind of mourn that it got to that point, but then not really like address that, like, this 7-year-old just shot someone for no reason.
Yeah, you know what? They're probably going to be having a tough time processing that Marlon actually, you know, sold two sisters into basically slavery to preserve the school, you know. And I'm sure Violet's going to want to go rescue
Minerva.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee, too.
And Tennessee's going to want to go rescue her sisters. Yeah.
For sure.
His sisters, I should say.
So what do you guys, so those things, is there anything else you hope to see in the upcoming episodes?
I absolutely ship Clem and Violet.
I'm getting that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not be sad, though.
No, I thought you can almost kind of was read that Violet had, you know, you kind of sensed early on, it's like, yeah, she's probably seen some bad stuff and that's why she's the way she is. But then, you know, you find out, you know, the more in-depth, it's like, yeah, she's definitely got a reason to be, you know, the way she is. And it's totally understandable.
Very quiet. Very kind of skeptical.
Which makes, you know, a contrast to Lewis, who is like,
yes,
people are dropping left and right. And you're like,
yeah.
Piano. Yeah.
When they had the question, they're like, who would die first? I was like, Lewis would die first.
Yeah.
I just let that go. I was like, nope, not get me on that one.
I think at that one, I turned it back on to Violet because that was before the conversation. I was like, I think when you turn it, I think she says, well, probably you. And, you know, and she was like, and then Clementine's like, well, you're the one that asks the morbid question.
Okay. So that's interesting.
But then, like, Violet didn't say anything else about it. So, you know, whatever. She still had the nice conversation with me in the room. So
I said Lewis would die, and everyone at the table agreed with me, including Lewis.
That's interesting.
So
that's
I was fair. Like, good, I picked the right one.
And that's in fact, the right answer was Marlon.
Yeah.
Although now I think the cool answer would have been, well, let's flip the cards and find out.
Uh-huh.
Draw a card and see who draws the high card or low card. Yeah.
That would take that would take smarts on the part of the writer. So,
so yeah, there was no coming attractions, right?
Mm-mm.
For the second episode?
They were too busy with other things.
Yeah, packing bags, stuff like that. Sorry. I apologize.
It didn't get to that point. But all right. Well, so next week we will talk about episode 2, and which is still under, you know, what Telltale worked on, since they worked on the first two episodes. And then also don't forget that in December, I think December the 3rd is our chat about, that's our next month chat, which is going to be Celeste. And then we also have, of course, our Dragon Age Inquisition chat coming up in January. So if you guys want more game chat, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat and search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game, and we might read it on the show. Email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net, or you can send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Come back next week where we're again chatting about The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 2. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.